Today we're going to continue our second lesson on the DNA of someone who's walking with the Lord and also receiving his encouragement while on earth. And one of the most important things that you can glean from Scripture is the goal is that we would walk in love towards the Lord, towards others, and towards ourselves. And the latter is not often taught, but it's important that we don't work against ourselves out of past condemnation. Sometimes from having a sinful life in the past, we find ourselves self-condemning. And that self-condemning action or discipline that sometimes appears in our hearts, it prohibits us from loving freely. Some of you know, some of you don't know, I lived a very treacherous life when I was young. I left home when I was 16. I was on the streets, and I became tough and hard and brash and not able to receive love. And when I met a very elderly Christian woman once, I was ministering downtown at Cooper Park, and she seen me walking across the field there. I was coming to assist the food outreach, and when they didn't have, then they did not have a preacher, they would use me as backup. And so it was a joy for me to be there. But she had the gift of discernment. She walked up, put her arm around me. She goes, "Son, it's okay to love. It's okay to love. I know you've had a hard life." She goes, "It's okay to love now. Christ is with you now. He wants you to receive love." And she gave me a warm hug. And it was like I got a hug from God. You know, it was just, she read me like a book. She read, and do you know what she said? I said, "Well, how do you know?" She didn't know me from Adam. I said, "How do you know I had a hard life?" "Oh, son, I see it in your walk. Son, I see it in your walk." She watched me walk across the field. "Son, I see it in your walk." I'm saying all that to say that the life of sin and sinfulness, it has an impact on the DNA of your soul. And it changes the way you're able to love and the way you're able to give love. And when you're talking about walking with the Lord and with the primary goal of love as the goal, it's important that you're free to love. See, the disciplines of a disciple is that he would love intentionally, but yet he would be able to receive love intentionally. And so it's not just you giving, but it's also you receiving. That's very hard for someone that's got a stone fence up around every part of their life. That was me. I had a wall up around me. You could not get near me. That's far enough. So I want to encourage you today to examine your heart, to talk to the Lord about the condition of your heart and see if there's any self-condemnation going on. Because if it's there, you're being prohibited from loving freely, from representing Christ freely, and from receiving freely. And I would say that loving one another is the second greatest commandment, is it not? And until Suchi and the girls came in my life, my expressions of love were very limited. Now, most people describe Pastor Scott as extremely stoic, and that's because of my past, and it's because I've been fighting fires down here on the inner city for over 21 years, right? But if you walk around me long enough, my daughter calls me a robotic teddy bear. A robotic? I thought you'd get a kick out of this. A robotic teddy bear. And so the girls and God have softened me up. But it did not break off me easily. Are you catching that? And I still have problems with receiving gifts, favor. It's tough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, you could not hug me. I just wouldn't receive it. I'm like, stop right there. I don't do hugs. Get away from me. You know? But that's broken off. So I'm saying to you, learn from my poor experience. And if you're tough to love, you might want to see if you're being afflicted by unjust self-condemnation. And I want to point you back to the scripture that we read earlier today, that you have been sanctified once and for all by the body of Christ. Remember what we read in Hebrews 10, right? You have been sanctified once and for all by the body of Christ. Amen. Jesus said it is finished. You can add nothing to it. You cannot add to your salvation or the requirements of God for salvation. So, but does that relieve you of the commandment to love? No, nevertheless. We have to love, right? We have to love. And so your spirit, man, catch this, was born and made new at the point of redemption. But your spirit is in a body that's been really conditioned by its former experiences. Yes?
Yes.
Right? And so the mind is in need of renewal. It is in need of transformation. And the soul is very much in need of conversion and revival. And so we're born again, and we have this new spirit living inside of us, right? But we have the patterns of thinking that we once lived with. The pattern of thinking. And that either restrains or frees spiritual activity. Tracking that so far? Those old patterns restrain or free, based on various circumstances and based on different experiences. We're all in different spiritual planes, right? We're not all walking with the same level of spiritual understanding. We're not all, if you stuck a stick in me, you would find a certain measure of spiritual growth, of spiritual revival, of spiritual renewal, of prayer. It would have a measuring stick. Each person is different. You get a different reading in each one. If you stuck all of us differently, you would get a whole vast array of information. Yes? So we're not all in the same manner. All of the same kind, not all in the same condition. Tracking me? But there are dominant transformations that the scripture promises if you participate. And I'm saying that one of the restraints of walking with the Lord can be self-restriction. Because you have to love intentionally out of obedience. And that experience can be restricted by former ways of thinking and former experiences. So if you're feeling it, if you feel it hard to receive love from other humans, you might want to check and see, am I self-condemning unjustly, or do I have sin in my life that God is putting his thumb on? It's one or the other. You must know. Because if it's the former, it's Satan at work. And our generous cooperation, the consequence? Restrained love. If it's the Lord putting his finger on your sin and we're ignoring it, what do we have? Restrained love. Guilt on the inside. Resistance to God. Both have the same impact, right? The believer is restricted from giving love and receiving love. So with that said, let's read this. It says, I'm in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Are you there? This passage, what I'm going to read to you, got two themes. One, do not love the world. Two, let us love one another, is the two streams, the thread that connects it. Okay? Verse 20, 1 John 2:20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Let me stop right there. Do you know that part of the discipline of a disciple is that he must be intentional in rejecting lies?
Amen. Amen.
You must be intentional about rejecting lies that come into your heart through thoughts. See, a thought, if it's meditated upon, is accepted sometimes by the volition of your will, and then it remains with you. And if you accept lies, you're going to be guided by them. You're going to make decisions as a result of them. You'll be restrained as a consequence of them. And so one of the disciplines is to unpack lies and to accept truth. This process spurs on the sanctification process and releases the believer to love freely. Let me tell you something. I've met some people that are walking in a clear conscience. And they are so filled with joy, it's contagious. I'm like, why are you so happy? It's the Lord, brother. It's the Lord. I'm happy because of the Lord. I'm like, boy, you caught something I didn't get. What is going on here? Share the secret. Clear conscience. Clear conscience. Your consciousness must be clear. Your conscience must be clear. If your conscience is troubled, you got to find out why. Because it could be the Lord troubling your conscience, or it could be Satan tricking you and condemning yourself because of sins that were committed long ago that you confessed that you're holding on to and not unpacking that lie.
Amen.
Accept truth, receive forgiveness, reject lies, discern the difference. Discern the difference. All of the above required to love freely. You see it there? In verse 2, it says, I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Here it is in verse 22. Who is the liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is the Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. In verse 24, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. See, right there is a contributing factor to joy. If you are only living for this life and there's no hope or expectancy or acknowledgement that eternal life has begun for you, then what are you doing? You're rejecting a truth.
Amen.
A God-given truth that's meant for your benefit now to enjoy and for your eternal pleasure at the point of arriving in heaven. You see, it's so important to accept truth, but nevertheless, you must reject lies. So if you're going through life with no expectancy or hope of spending eternity in heaven with God as though it's not coming to you, what are you doing? You're rejecting truth. And thus your joy is limited.
Yes.
Loving truth is a part of loving God, because he said, I am the way, the truth. And this passage said that you know the truth, but are you accepting the truth? Is there evidence in your life that you're accepting eternal truth? Is there evidence in your life that you're accepting the truth about your life right now, where you're at? Are you accepting the truth about your life? Are you in sin? Are you acknowledging you're in sin? Are you rejecting sin? Then you are accepting Satan's trickery. Intentionally. Maybe unintentionally. Nevertheless, the consequence is the same. Guilt is abiding. But if that's not so, if you're walking with the Lord, if you're quick to repent, if you're confessing your sin, if you're serving God with all your heart, be content.
Amen.
In your love for the Lord.
Yes.
We're not all wired the same. We don't all have the same gifts. Our strengths are different. Our giftings are different. Our experience with the Lord, all different. But there are basic foundational truths that you must understand. And loving freely is something God wants you to do. Because in that, the people around you will taste and smell the fragrance of Christ. Because God's love is unlimited. It's unlimited. Here it is in verse 26. These things I've written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. Let me tell you something. You and I are targets of Satan's deception. And one of the ways he can get you is by teaching you how to self-deceive yourself. Self-deception is the primary goal in the end times. Because Jesus said, let no man deceive you.
Amen.
Not even the man in the mirror.
Amen.
Do not fall into self-deception. Acting as though everything's good when it's not. See, that's a lie. You have to reject it. Everything's not good if you're knee-deep in sin. Don't kid yourself.
Amen.
You see the danger of that? But if you're giving God your very best, if you're running away from evil, if you're worshiping with all your heart, then accept that. Because God has.
Amen.
And it's not going to change your salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely going to change your experience and how other people taste Christ. Because you're carrying His name. You're carrying His Spirit. You're carrying His message. And so it's important that a messenger carries the love of God freely. Not bound up in confusion and unforgiveness and self-deception and on and on and on. That, what does that do? It binds love. It does not allow you to love freely. And so here it is in verse 27. It says, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Do you realize that's painting a picture of what I just preached? According to your acceptance of truth, so shall you abide in Him. Provision for holy walk is in you. Because He's in you and you're in Him.
Amen.
Remember, Hebrews 10. You have been sanctified by the body of Christ given for you. In verse 28, it says, and now little children, abide in Him. And that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. He says, if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him.
Amen.
In other words, the fruit of righteousness is not your righteousness. The fruit of righteousness is produced by God who made you right with Him. In other words, Christ made you right with God. It's called the gift of righteousness. I use the straight arm to show my young people that I sit down with. I say, what is this? And I'm holding my arm in a straight form. They say, oh, it's the straight rule law of God. Yes. And how do you get that? How do you get that straight rule law of God? You must be made right with God through the what? And they say, the gift of righteousness. Yes. It's the gift. It's a gift. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
It's to be celebrated. There's another truth that you must accept. That you're not going to pedal your way or gerbil your way. Or you see those little things in the squirrel cage. You know, the guy's just running, 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 running. He never gets anywhere. But he thinks he's going somewhere. Right? Because he never lets up. No. Rest. Rest in the work of God. Celebrate what God has done for you. Be just so full of joy because you are on your way to meet God. You're on your way to see Him. He's prepared a place for you. There's a place at His table for you. There's a placemat with your name on it. There's a street and it has a house that was built by God for you. Now see, you can say, oh, he's full of folly. Really? I can take you right to the Word and prove what I just said is true. So you either accept it or you reject it and be miserable. I'm choosing to believe Him.
Amen.
If you cannot believe God, who can you believe?
Yes.
Right? So accept truth. Discipline allows you to love freely. Right? Obey. Come what may, obey. Put the rest on God. He can handle it. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. First John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. It says, therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Capital H, period. Verse 2, 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And here, let me just encourage you with this. It says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. What is that pointing to? It's saying, lift up your chin. Everybody look, take your hand, point your chin up. Boop. It's not the ceiling I'm pointing to. It's that moment when you behold him. Chin up. Catch it. Next time you're discouraged, chin up.
Amen.
Behold him. You're going to behold him. What's that song? Suchi's favorite song. Oh, it's not We Shall Behold Him, but the famous song, the amazing. Oh, it was the number one hit forever. When the man appeared in heaven, he was awed by seeing God in all of his greatness. I can only imagine. That's it. I can only imagine. There. Yeah. I can only imagine. Just think with me. I can only imagine. Now, what have we done here? We have taken our heavy hearts and we've pointed them to the moment that we're going to behold him. What happened there? You go, I can only imagine what that's going to be like. All right? Streets of gold. The one who made all things. You and he face to face.
Amen.
Chin up, saints. Chin up. What's the worst? The worst possible number is 100 years. All right? For everyone in here. 120 max. Right? 120 max. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Passing. Psalms 39, verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Your life is but a breath. Right? It's tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. He is coming and we're going.
Amen.
Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. This thing is like a puff. Amen? And when you catch that, if you see your life as a puff, poof, it's gone, right? But glory to God, while we're here, love freely.
Amen.
And find out why if you're not. Because the moment you find out what's got that floodgate blocked and you pull it back, guess what? A whole lot of people around you are going to be real happy. Because you're going to be loving in a more gracious way, in a more loving way, in a more free way, with your past long behind you.
Amen.
You see, you have to step into this new life. You have to step into it. And the way you step into this new life that God said you have, he said, behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Why? Because you were born again by the Spirit of God, not by the will of man. What does that mean? It means that you're a child of God by birth by the Spirit that God initiated, that God is fulfilling, that God is seeing through, right? The old man has died. He passed away.
Amen.
You were once dead in your sins, and then you were born again.
Amen.
And now you're walking in this new life. But you have to accept these truths. See, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you'll be dull. You won't be able to love freely. So be encouraged. Take just a moment out of your life and discern, where am I? Am I loving freely? See, that's the call. A man who walks with God loves freely. He's free to love.
Yes.
And on the flip side, he's free to receive love.
Yes.
See, if you're positioning yourself to be a disciple, you must position yourself according to truth. So you have to move over where the water is. Some of us got umbrellas on for no reason. Instead, you got an umbrella on, trying to shield yourself from water. No, let the Lord rain on you just a little. Amen? And then you rain on somebody else. Receive water, give water. Here it is. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope," what? "In him," what does he do? There it is. See, you have the sanctifying work of God that took place on the cross at Calvary. You are in it. That's a finished work. But in this life, God promises that you're able to see evil. You're able to be resisted by evil. You are subject to the wiles and the schemes of foolish men. And you will experience tribulation in this life. But the Lord teaches us that we are to be intentional about purifying ourselves, abstaining from evil, running from evil, hating what is evil. You catching it? In other words, pursuing holiness, stepping your life into the highway of holiness. In that way, you are purifying your life. You're in an intentional cooperation with an expressed will of God. What is that will? That you be holy. He says, "Be holy, therefore, because I am holy. And because the Holy One lives in you, what I'm describing to you is possible." Because he is forever sanctifying. We just have spiritual things are consummated, and power from on high in the Holy Spirit comes to you when through, catch this, agreement. Agreement. When you agree with God, you turn from evil. When you agree with God, you believe what the Lord said. When you agree with God, you're expectant because you can see what you cannot see.
Amen.
See, that is faith.
Yeah.
Faith is seeing what you cannot see. Therefore, you need hope. I'm not talking about an experience. I'm talking about an acceptance of the hope.
Mm-hmm.
Christ. You accept him. He's the hope of the body of Christ.
Amen.
He's the hope for this earth journey. He's the hope of life after death. He's the hope of life eternal. He's the hope of the one you pray to. He's the one who answers the prayer. He's the hope.
Amen.
So if your hope is in him, you shall not be disappointed. You shall not be ashamed at the day of reckoning. You shall not be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
No, it shall be a good day when he says, "Come, my faithful servant, welcome home."
Yes.
See? Why have I said that with so much boldness? Because I know that Christ died for me. I know that Christ settled my sin debt. It's all about relationship now, not about salvation.
Amen.
Catch that. It'll free you. It'll free you. And I know that nothing I could do is either going to better God or change God or affect him. No, it's not. It's not. He said telestai. It's in the perfect tense, which means it is finished. You can't add a thing to it.
Amen.
It is done in the eyes of the Father. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. He was the perfect sacrifice. He remains the perfect sacrifice. And God said, "You are not going to add to it. I won't let you."
Amen.
See? Rest. Love freely. Enjoy the glory while he's with you. Before you arrive in him in heaven. Saints, there's a freeing. God wants you free. He wants you to be free. Free to love. Free to laugh. free to joy, free to just free, free to be free. And you cannot if you're tricking yourself through self-condemnation. The goal of a man who walks with God is not to love the world, but to be intentional about loving Him with all that you've got, all in. I call it all in. You're either all in or you're not in. All in. All in. All in. Second, love your neighbor freely. Freely, not with clasped hands, hard face, scowling eyebrows, hard heart. No. Freely you have received. Freely give.